Hey everyone, welcome to Pastor Rick Warren's Daily Hope. Now we're going to continue our series today called Building My Life on Values That Last. And Rick will press on and show us how we benefit when we apply the biblical principles of trust, self-control, balance, respect, forgiveness, moral purity, fairness, honesty, and love to our lives. And now let's join Rick for part two of a message called The Balanced Life.
Lots of people have expectations of pastors. I heard this week about a guy, a pastor friend, a guy came up to him at church and said, I tried to call you on Monday and I couldn't get in touch with you. And the guy said, pastor said, that's because it's my day off. And the guy's trying to be self-righteous and he goes, well, the devil never takes a day off. And the pastor goes, yeah, and if I didn't, I'd be just like the devil. You see, Satan is not my model, but God is. And the Bible says that God rests. Why? Because he needs to and he gets tired? No, but it's an example for us. You cannot do everything. Have you learned that? And not everything's worth doing in the first place. Have you learned that? And you have limitations on your life. You are a human being and you're not God. You know what jars of clay do? They break easily. You drop them, they splatter, they crack up. Jars of clay pots have to be handled with care. Clay pots have to be handled appropriately. If not, they're going to crack up. And the same is true of you. One of the verses that God has convicted me of just recently, in recent months, is this verse, Psalm 119:73. He says, you made my body, Lord, now give me sense to heed your laws. That's a good one. Number three. The third key in balance is to limit my labor. That's the L in balance. Limit my labor. That means make a conscious decision to make time for other things besides work. I have to decide how many hours I'm going to work each week, and then I stick to it. Now, look up here. This is especially important in Orange County because so many of you are self-employed. And if you don't set a standard number of hours of work that you're going to work, you'll just never take a break. You'll take your work home with you, or for that matter, you may work out of your home. And you never slow down. You never take a break. You never let down. And just like a bow and arrow, a bow that is constantly strung tight loses its power. It has to be unstrung periodically. So you need to force yourself to set some realistic hours of work that you're going to work in a particular week, and then you need to hold yourself accountable to somebody else. Just check up on you, make sure that you're not overworking. This is very serious stuff. Particularly, I would suggest this if you are a single parent, because I don't know anybody who works harder than single parents. And because you have so much responsibility on you and you're trying to care for all the kids, you very rarely take any time for yourself. You don't relax. You're always on the go, and you're harming yourself and your family. Now, folks, what I'm talking about tonight is not just some little pop psychology or good advice. It's so important that God put it in the Ten Commandments right up there with don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't lie, and don't steal. That's how important what we're talking about is tonight. It's the fourth commandment. And it says this. It's there on your outline. Exodus chapter 20. Read it with me. Verse 9 and 10. You have 6 days in which to do your work, but the seventh day is to be a day of rest dedicated to me. Now, this is very interesting. Of all the things that God said, here are the top 10 moral commands. And he says, you know, don't have any other gods before me, and don't make any idols. And he says, don't murder, and don't commit adultery. And then he also says, take a day off every 7 days. Why did he do that? Because God wired you up to be in a rhythm of work and rest, and work and rest. And our best requires rest. Now, this principle is called the Sabbath. If you want to write this down, the word Sabbath simply means a day of rest. A day of rest. And God expects you to observe a Sabbath every 7 days. That means a day of rest. Now, why did he do that? Why did God put that in the top 10? Well, notice there what Jesus said. In Mark chapter 2, he said, the Sabbath was made to benefit who? Man. He says, it's for my benefit. Now, It doesn't matter what day you choose. In fact, the book of Colossians in the New Testament says God doesn't care at all what day your Sabbath day is, whether it's Sunday, Saturday, Tuesday, or whatever, as long as you do it every week. And he says every week you take a full day off. Not every other week. Every week you take a full day off. And he said it doesn't matter what day it is, as long as you do it. I mean, Sunday, folks, is not a Sabbath for me. And for that matter, neither is Saturday. My Sabbath is Monday. That's my day. Now, what do you do on your Sabbath? Oh, you catch up on all the things you didn't do the other 6 days, right? That's what we usually do, but that's not what God says to do. God says to do three things on your Sabbath. Would you write these down? They're not on your outline, so just find a place over in the, scribble it over in the margin, whatever. Three things to do on your day off God wants you to do every week. I'll mention them and then I'll come back and talk about them. Rest my body, recharge my emotions, and refocus my spirit. That's the purpose of the Sabbath, of a weekly day off. And you are to do all three things, or it's not a Sabbath. First, I rest my body. Have you figured out the fact that if you don't take time off, your body will make time off? One way or the other, your back will go out, you'll get a headache, or you'll get the flu, or whatever. You see, we are not designed to go without rest. And as I said, our best deserves rest. Did you know that during the French Revolution, that they outlawed the Sabbath in France? And they said, there will be no day off. We'll work 7 days a week. And within just a matter of a couple years, they had to reinstate it because the health of the nation had collapsed. We weren't wired to work constantly without any rest. God says, I want you to rest your body on the Sabbath. And sometimes the most spiritual thing you can do is take a nap. Then he says, not only that, I want you to recharge your emotions on the Sabbath. Now, that takes different things for different people. But you can recharge yourself emotionally through quietness. You can recharge yourself through emotion through rejuvenating recreation. Now, not the competitive kind where you're beating your brains out to kill the other guy. I mean, that doesn't always recharge you. But some kind of rejuvenating relaxation and relationships. Take time for relationships. Relationships can rejuvenate you emotionally and get you recharged. And then he says, the third thing I want you to do on the Sabbath is, he said, I want you to refocus your spirit. Now, the Bible word for that is worship. Worship, that's what worship is. Worship is when I just kind of focus on God instead of all my problems. When I tune into the Creator and His power and His love for me and what He's like. And one of the, have you noticed it? One of the things that worship does is it kind of puts everything else into perspective. It shrinks your problems. If you ever come to church really stressed out, really tired, going, oh man, I've got so much to do this next week. I can't believe how much. And then by just singing some songs that help you focus on God, hearing some Bible study from God's word, getting together with some other Christians, it kind of shrinks the problems and you're reminded, God's still on his throne. He's still in control. He isn't dead. He's going to help me. He's going to be with me. It's not that big a deal. He'll help me through it. And all of a sudden, the problem just isn't as big as it was. Worship puts things in perspective because your problem looks so big, but then when you see how big God is, your problem looks very, very tiny because God can handle anything. Now, God wants you to do all three things on your day off, on your Sabbath. He says, rest your body, recharge your emotions, and worship. Refocus your spirit. Now, the fourth thing you need to do is to adjust my values. B-A-L-A, the second A is adjust my values. Now, the reason you need to do this is because in balancing our lives, the reason we get out of balance is our values get out of balance. And you may have to do some thinking about what's really most important in life. Because what happens is we start majoring on the minors. And the Bible says that one of the reasons that we overwork is materialism, which is obviously a wrong value, materialism. Ecclesiastes 4:4, let's read this verse together. I've learned why people work so hard to succeed. It's because they envy the things their neighbors have. Now God says you got two options. You can either spend all your time keeping up with the Joneses, or he says, you can forget them and reduce your stress level. But you can't do the same at the same time. You can't live in a world that always says, I got to have more, I got to have better, I got to achieve greater, and I've got to keep on keeping on, keeping up, because somebody may get ahead of me economically or at the office or anywhere else. You can't do that and live a balanced life at the same time. Now, that's a question of values. You've heard me say this many times. You know, we buy things we don't need with money we don't have to impress people we don't even like. And we just keep doing it and doing it and doing it, and somebody's got to stop and saying, when is enough enough? Be realistic, be rational, be logical about this. Somebody's got to stop and say, is it worth it to just keep on this rat race? You can win the rat race and you're still a rat. Jesus said it like this: what good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? I would say, what good is it for a man to become president of his company and lose his kids? Or his wife? What good is it for a woman to get that career promotion and lose her kids? Or her husband? Or anything else? What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his soul? See, what happens is we become possessed by our possessions. And the things that we think we are managing are actually managing us. And they control us. Now, one of the reasons why Americans have a hard time relaxing is because in our society, we confuse our work and our worth. They're two very separate things. We think that what I do is the same thing as what I am. We think that my identity is all wrapped up in my career and that my net worth determines my self-worth. And that's all a lie. It's just not true. Your identity has nothing to do with your career. It has to do with who God made you to be and who loves you. He does. And what happens is we think, well, if I achieve a lot, then I'm worth a lot, so I'll just keep working and working and working to prove my worth. Now, many of you grew up with a false concept that got into your mind somehow that says you're worthless. You don't matter. That you aren't worth diddly. And you may have picked that up from a kid on the playground, or a teacher may have said that to you, you're worthless. Or you may have had a brother or sister said that, or you may have even had a parent who either said it or in so many words basically said, you aren't going to amount to much. And so in the back of your mind, you figured, I'm going to show them. I am going to prove them wrong. And you start working. And you start working, and you worked harder and harder and harder, and no matter what you accomplish, it's never enough. And just about the time you start to relax and maybe add a little bit of balance to your life, that haunting voice comes in and says, keep pedaling, somebody's catching up. Keep working, because somebody's going to pass you and show that you really aren't worth anything. And you need to get rid of that idea. Base your worth on what God says about you, not some phony idea that somebody told you a long time ago that you're still living off of. It drives you to keep working. The Bible says this in Ecclesiastes 4:6. It's better to have only a little with peace of mind than to be busy all the time. He says, the greatest things in life aren't things. It's better to not have a whole lot and have a life, to have sanity, to have balance, than it is to have a warehouse full of possessions and no time to enjoy them. or in time to enjoy the people in your life.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to today's show. I don't know if you're like me, but sometimes I feel like Rick is talking to me at the exact moment about the exact thing that I need help with. And now here's Rick to tell you about a resource that he created to help you in your walk with Jesus.
Did you know that everything you do and every decision you make is based on your values? Today, so many people are confused about what they're meant to be and what they're supposed to do with their lives because they're looking in the wrong places and they're living by values that are at odds with God's values. In fact, I believe living with values is the number one conflict and cause of stress in our lives today. So what's God's solution? Well, he wants us to live by his eternal values, the values that he teaches in the Bible. Now, I have prepared a new resource that I want to tell you about today to help you develop and apply God's values in your life. It's a resource I'm calling Building Your Life on Values That Last. It's a self-guided study that I believe will help you grow spiritually. It'll help you understand what matters most in your life, and it'll help you to follow God's eternal plan for your life. Building Your Life on Values That Last is going to help you in ways you've never imagined. It'll help you learn what God has to say about trust, self-control, balance, responsibility, respect, forgiveness. It will help you understand what the Bible says about moral purity and fairness and honesty and love. And I will show you some practical ways to make the changes you need to make to get back on track so that you're living by God's values, not by the world's pressures. Now, here's the best news. You don't have to do this in your own strength. God is going to give you the power and the ability to make the changes he wants you to make. You're really going to want to get this tool. It's got a beautiful leather-like cover. It's filled with beautiful artwork and application exercises and a lot of space for you to write down your thoughts, your responses, your ideas to what God is teaching you. This is something you're going to keep for a long, long time. It's a comprehensive study tool that I believe is going to help you go deeper as you follow Jesus, and I'm proud to carry one of these myself. I hope you'll get one today.
Go to PastorRick.com to get your copy of this great resource. That's PastorRick.com. Or you could just text the word HOPE to 70309. That's the word HOPE to 70309. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.